Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. We start our third and final hour. And joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line, Max Chadwick, the college football analyst for Pro Football Focus, joins us to talk the draft and the college football offseason. Max, thanks so much for joining us. I was so excited to hear that we were having you back on. How you doing? How's the offseason been for you?
It's been great, guys. I appreciate you saying that. It means the world to me. But, yeah, it's been a great offseason. It's the best time of the year right now. This is quite literally my Christmas, the NFL draft. So I'm having the time of my life right now in the PFF offices with everyone. And, I'm pumped to talk to you guys, too.
And, Max, I would almost retort back to you, what offseason? It never ends.
Correct. There's never an offseason in college football, never an offseason in the NFL. To your point, we're actually putting together the way too early 2025 NFL draft big board as we speak right now. So yes, it literally never ends in the world of football right now. But I'd have it none of the way as well.
May I get a peek inside that and ask about Walter Nolan?
Yes, I think Walter Nolan's a very solid player. I think he's a guy that obviously has a very high ceiling. Former number one overall recruit coming out of high school. Hasn't quite realized that ceiling yet.
Got to be consistent.
Exactly, yes. His first 2 years at A&M weren't as good, but I'm very excited to see what he could do at Ole Miss this year with Prince Umiagbiela, who's also transferring there from Florida. I think Walter Nolan could be a first-round pick, but I'm not quite ready to say he's a guaranteed first-round pick right now. Got all the tools in the world. Just got to put it all together this year.
Who's your quarterback this time next year that may be like Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels?
I don't think we have any of those guys. I think it's actually a pretty weaker quarterback class. There isn't really a Caleb Williams or Drake May where you kind of know, hey, that's the guy. I will say that the top two, I think, by a pretty good amount for me at least, are Carson Beck from Georgia and Shador Sanders from Colorado. But the thing is, to kind of illustrate how weak this class is compared to this year, those two guys are both draft eligible this year. If they both declared, they might have been first-round picks, and they probably would have been. But I don't think they would have been in the top three with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. So they're more like J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix prospects than the top three right now. So I think Carson Beck and Shador Sanders are the guys to know for sure, but they are not, slam dunk quarterback prospects by any means.
If Quinn Ewers had the big year and Texas won it all and he, let's just say, a Heisman finalist, maybe not win it, but he's at the ceremony, all the buzz and all the attention, is there any way he could rocket up the draft like Bo Nix did this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people probably have him as the number one quarterback. I'm not quite there yet. I think, like I said, I think it's pretty clearly Beck and Shador for me right now. Mm-hmm. But Quinn's got a very high ceiling, obviously a cannon of an arm, one of the highest-rated quarterbacks to ever come out of high school. Again, he had a really good year this past year. I'm very curious to see what it looks like without all the weapons. Obviously, Jonathan Brooks is gone. A.D. Mitchell is gone. Xavier Worthy is gone. Tavion Sanders is gone. So Quinn Ewers is really going to have to carry that offense next year. I'm very curious to see what he can do as the leader, really the alpha of that offense.
They get Isaiah Bond, though.
They do. Yeah, he's a very good player, but it's not nearly the same receiving core that they had this past season. So, I'm again, all the talent in the world, he can do it, but I'm not quite ready to say he's going to be, slam dunk top five, top ten pick yet.
Looking at this year's group of quarterbacks in the draft, I think you look at most mock drafts, you listen to what people were saying going into the draft. 1-2-3 was pretty simple on all fronts. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. But then it was those three quarterbacks after those guys, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and then Bo Nix. Where did you see those guys going into the draft, and how do you think those three guys translate to the NFL level?
Yeah, I think I liked all three of them, and I personally would have taken all three of them in the first round. And I actually, in one of my last mock drafts for PFF, I had all three also, in the top 15, yeah. Which is,
wow.
Not a lot of people thought that would happen. I thought there's a chance that, all these teams could really like them, and it happened. We got all six in the top 12 of the draft even. So, I like all three of them. I think JJ especially is going to a great situation in Minnesota. where he can really flourish. And I think that's a really important thing for him, was the situation that he goes into. Bo Nix, I think, could immediately be the Broncos starting quarterback. I think Sean Payton would love a kind of quarterback like him who just runs the offense the way it's designed. And I think Michael Penix Jr., it's going to take a long time for him to be the starter after paying Kirk Cousins all that money. But they obviously want to get a Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love succession plan. In fact, that's how they defended the pick to the media, was by referencing that as well. So I personally didn't love that because I think they're in kind of a win-now mode. But it could end up working out for them like it worked out for Green Bay and Jordan Love. But I'm not quite ready to say I really love that pick for Atlanta yet. Yeah.
Max Chadwick, our guest on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line, and we love talking football with Max Chadwick. Max, I'm stealing this from Peter Schrager, so I want to give proper attribution to him. Early this morning, I heard him ask this question. The first-round quarterbacks, Williams, Daniels, May, Penix, McCarthy, Nix, not who's better, not who's going to the Hall of Fame, not who should have been here and maybe the other one should have been there. Just who do you like watch playing the most of those six?
I hate giving you an easy answer here, but I mean it's Caleb Williams. I mean, he's literally the most creative quarterback I've ever seen in college. I think he is a guy that I would have put on the same tier as Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence coming out of college. I think Caleb Williams is that special, and not only that, not only is he a special player on the field, he is a special person off the field. I have no off field concerns with Caleb Williams. In fact, I think he's the kind of leader that I would want on my team. So I think Caleb Williams is going to an awesome situation in Chicago right now with how they're building that offense around him, since they're getting Roma Dunze at number 9 overall. It's a cop-out answer considering he's the number 1 overall pick, but I think Caleb Williams is quite literally one of the most fun quarterbacks I've ever seen in college football, and I personally can't wait to see how it trends Sundays.
And my answer, it would almost be the same. It's not a cop-out. I could say the same about Jaden Daniels, and unfortunately for both of them with their teams last year, they didn't play on defense. I mean, it wasn't their fault they were in kind of those wilder games. With Caleb Williams, I also heard this story last night in some coverage that at Heisman time 2 years ago when he won it in December of 22, the Heisman Trust called and said, you know, here's what we pay for. We want you to come to New York. Here's what we pay for your parents. And he cut them off and said, I'm not showing unless I can bring my offensive line. They said, well, we really don't do that. He said, you can forget me showing then. You get my offensive line there, I don't show. And they said, we can do that. We want you here.
But imagine the Heisman Trophy winner not being there. Like they stay out the cave and did that. And actually was lucky enough, I talked to Caleb Williams last year after he won the Heisman Trophy. He mentioned that. He's like, those are my guys. Literally every single teammate I've talked to at USC, every other player at USC that I've talked to, every coach I've talked to at USC, and every interview I've seen from other USC players and coaches, they have had nothing but incredible, incredible things to say about Caleb Williams, the person. Not Caleb Williams, the player. Caleb Williams, the person. So anyone out there who thinks that Caleb Williams has off-field concerns, quite frankly, isn't really paying attention to what Caleb Williams is all about. So I have no doubts about him off the field, and I have no doubts about him on the field really either. Yeah. I am so excited to see what he can do for the Chicago Bears. In fact, I actually talked to Olu Fashanu, who played with Caleb in high school, and Olu would even say, hey, Caleb would buy the entire offensive line meals after every single game.
Wow. In high school.
Offensive linemen like to eat. So Caleb Williams was probably selling out a pretty penny before he was really making any money. So that just shows you the kind of guy he is, the kind of leader he is. So, again, he has no off-field concerns, no leadership concerns, and quite frankly, not a lot of on-field concerns either. I think Caleb Williams is a bona fide franchise quarterback and one of the best ones we've seen come out of the draft ever, in my opinion.
Max, he played high school in D.C. at Gonzaga High, and they play at a really high level. A lot of people are sleeping on just what a recruiting hotbed D.C., Northern Virginia, and even into Baltimore, what it's becoming.
Absolutely. Yeah, the DMV area has been fantastic in terms of producing high-end talent before. And it's really cool. Actually, I saw a stat today that this is the highest that two former high school teammates were ever drafted in the same draft. So you got Caleb going number one and Olu Fashanu going number 11. So an amazing, amazing day yesterday for Gonzaga College High School to have two of the top 11 picks in the NFL draft that played on the same team. I think that's one of the coolest stories in this draft. It's probably not getting enough coverage, in my opinion. So, yeah, you mentioned the DMV area is really underrated when it comes to high school recruiting. You know, we talk about California all the time, talk about Texas, talk about, obviously, the Southeast. I think the DMV area is also a really good and underrated area for high school football right now.
Now, when you say DMV, that's Delmarva, Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. I got to see Delaware pick it up a little bit before I think they're really helping out.
That's true. Yeah, Delaware's not that big of a state. Yeah, of course. But, yeah, I think up in Maryland, Virginia, the M and the V are certainly carrying the weight there.
Certainly. Well, last night, another one of the big takeaways was all of the offensive players taken off the board. What, first 14 players in the draft were offensive players before we had the first defensive player come off the board at number 15. Do you think that was more just the teams drafting towards the top of the draft saw that their needs were offensive players, or is that reflective of the group of defensive players that were in this draft this year?
I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think the best defensive player was the number 15 overall player in the draft. I don't think that's the case. I think Liatu Latu probably would be my number one defender, and he was the first defender taken at number 15 overall. I probably would have had him as a top 10 player in this draft, honestly. But I did think going in that, so to just illustrate how ridiculous that draft was last night in the first 14 picks being offensive players, the previous record was the first 7 picks being offensive players.
Crazy.
In 2021, when J.C. Horn was the number 8 overall pick to the Panthers, he was the first defender taken back in 2021. We doubled the record this past year, which is insane. So I didn't think that would happen. I thought we might be able to tie the record and maybe break it, and the first defender taken is number 9 overall. I did not foresee 14 being offensive players. So I think it was a little extreme. Like I said, I think I would have taken a bunch of defenders in that top 14, but and we knew going in, it was a loaded offensive draft this year. So I was not surprised. I wasn't surprised that we had the first 8 picks be offensive players, but after that, it did start getting a little extreme, in my opinion. But it just shows, again, how awesome this offensive class is, and honestly, probably the most loaded offensive draft we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah. Well, still a lot of really good prospects left on the board for tonight and into the weekend. Who are some guys that weren't taken last night that are still on the board that you think are going to be some steals in the second or third round?
There's a few guys that I cannot believe are still available tonight. I think it starts off with Johnny Newton, who is my guy, admittedly. He's one of my favorite players I've ever interviewed. I've kept up in touch with him since. I think he's the best D tackle in this draft. I know he's got a foot issue that might have been the reason why he fell out of the first round. But even playing on that LaFrankage or that Jones fracture in his foot, he still was one of the most productive defensive players in college football. I think he actually, over the last 2 years, he leads all D tackles in the country in pressures, and he leads all of them in run defense stops. This guy is quite literally awesome, and as a pass rusher and run defender. So wherever Jazon Newton from Illinois goes tonight, I think it will be a huge steal for whatever team. Cooper DeJean from Iowa.
Yeah.
Could not believe he fell to the second round. I think he is the most versatile corner in this draft. He's an excellent run defender, excellent in coverage, can do anything you want on a defense, really good athlete as well. I can't believe he fell out of the first round. Kool-Aid McKinstry is my number one corner in this draft from Alabama. I think he's been the best corner in college football in each of the last 2 years. Not an elite athlete, which is why I think he fell in the second round, but he's been locked down. And really the biggest reason why Terrion Arnold, who went in the first round last night, was able to shine this past year is because quarterbacks simply did not look to Kool-Aid's side of the field, which is what you want out of a corner. And then Jackson Powers Johnson, another guy from the center from Oregon, the best center in college football by a mile this past year, and he's a really good guard the year before, so I think he can play anywhere on the interior offensive line. So I was kind of surprised he fell out. And then last one I would say is A.D. Mitchell, the receiver from Texas. Now he's a boomer bust player, and much more so than the other players I just mentioned, but he's got a super high ceiling, man. 6'2", 205, ran like a 4.3 40, really good route runner as well. I think A.D. Mitchell is probably going to be one of the first picks in the second round, and he should have been a first-round pick last night, in my opinion. So, yeah, those are some of the guys that I personally was very surprised that we didn't hear their names called last night in the draft.
Yeah. Talking to Max Chadwick, college football analyst for Pro Football Focus, joining us to talk draft and college football. We know, obviously, the draft, only a small part of the offseason in both the NFL and college football, with what the transfer portal is now very, very busy in college football. Who are some teams that have impressed you with what they've done this offseason, bringing in more talent through the portal?
I think the first team I'll probably look at is Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss did a really good job of addressing a lot of their defensive needs. And we mentioned Walter Nolan before, and I mentioned Prisley Monbiellen as well. Those are two huge gets on the defensive line for Ole Miss. And both of them, I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are first-round picks next year, too. So I think Ole Miss did a great job in the portal. I think Louisville has lost some players. Excuse me. But I think Louisville has done a really good job of adding some more talent to the portal as well. I think Ohio State, man, I mean, Ohio State this offseason really killed it. And the reason why, I think they're the best team in the country right now. Not only did a lot of their top players decide to stay in school, they also brought in maybe the second-best running back in the country in Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss, really the only loss Ole Miss had this offseason. And then also Caleb Downs they brought in as well, the safety from Alabama, who I think is the best safety in college football as well. So really, Ohio State's loading up this year. I think Ryan Day kind of knows it's put-up-or-shut-up time for him. And I think he's really making a run at the national title this year. So I think them, I think Oregon did a great job getting Dylan Gabriel,
yeah.
Getting Jabbar Muhammad, getting some other guys as well. Evan Stewart, the receiver from Texas A&M. Oregon did a great job as well. Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that you could point to. I think some teams really did well in this transfer portal season.
Max, I hear some people almost being critical at Ole Miss about, oh, they're going all in. Well, so is Ohio State. So everybody else. I mean, you have to go all in under this new paradigm. Every year is going to have that all in feeling to it. This time next year, you got to re up and go all in. I don't know why some want to criticize that.
You can't. You can't. I think it's proven that, you know, the teams that don't do well in the transfer portal can struggle. We're not in the age of college football anymore where you could just develop guys for 3 years and then they'll stay forever.
Ask Clemson.
Yeah, exactly. That is the biggest reason why Clemson, I think, has fallen off a little bit. It's because Dabo Sweeney refuses to use the transfer portal. And if he does, I think Clemson will just be right back where they were. But look at Florida State this past year. Florida State's entire team, all their star players, every single one you can name, was a transfer pretty much. So it just shows that, look, it's a quick fix, man. It really is a quick fix. You need to think about it like NFL free agency. Imagine if there's an NFL team who says, oh, no, you know, we're not going to sign any free agents or do anything. What we're going to do is just draft, and hopefully we nail the draft. As we know, the draft is a crapshoot. And as we know, high school recruiting is a crapshoot. In the transfer portal and in free agency, you can get proven good players. And I think that's a very valuable tool and why you're seeing it boom so much. So I think, yeah, if you're not using the transfer portal nowadays, you're missing out, honestly, and you're going to fall behind a lot of your competitors because it is practically college football's version of free agency.
Yeah, absolutely. One guy that we talked about a lot a little bit last year, and certainly a name that was a big name when he entered the transfer portal. There's thought he was going to go to the draft, but ends up at Miami. Cam Ward, his first spring complete down at Miami. What do you expect to see from him down there in the ACC? You talked about, you know, being kind of a put up or shut up year for some other players and coaches. For Mario Cristobal, it seems like we're kind of getting close there. He really needs to do something at Miami. What does Cam Ward bring to the table?
Yeah, I actually interviewed Cam during the season last year. He's an awesome kid. I'm a huge fan of his. The thing I will say, though, he is a roller coaster at quarterback right now. He really is. I mean, he can make some throws that, quite frankly, I don't know if anyone else in college football can make the throws he makes. And he also makes a number of head-scratching decisions that leave you very frustrated watching his pace. So he is as boom or bust of a quarterback as you will find in college football. So I know a lot of people are super high on him and saying he's a top five quarterback in the country. I can't get on board with that yet. I didn't even have him as a top 10 quarterback in the country, honestly, just because of how volatile he is right now. So he's got to, you know, control some of the wild tendencies he has and maybe tone it down a little bit, but there's no denying how talented he is as a quarterback. I just don't know if Miami is quite the place that's going to extract that high-end ceiling while, you know, raising his floor. I don't trust they will, so I'm a little nervous about that transition for him at Miami. But I do think he's got some talented players there. I think a guy like Xavier Restrepo, their slot receiver, is probably a top five receiver in college football, in my opinion. I love him, so I think Cam Ward should rely on him a lot. But like I said, he's a very boomer bust quarterback right now. That makes me a little bit nervous for Miami next year, because if it hits, if he, you know, it tones it down and really does become a better quarterback, like I said, he's got as high of a ceiling as pretty much any quarterback in the country, but that floor is pretty low right now. So that's why I think Miami fans, they should be excited about him for sure because of that high ceiling, but I would temper expectations for him as well.
And we go into a college football offseason world for the first time, it feels like forever, without Nick Saban. And just to put in, there's so many numbers to show how dominant he and Alabama that they've been since he got there in 07 and really got it going in 08 and won his first national championship there in 09. Just since 2019, 21 first round NFL picks. Auburn all time has only had 20.
That's insane. And he could have had 22. I don't know if you guys saw that quote from him last night. That I think was pretty insane. But he, when Quinion Mitchell, the Toledo corner, was drafted to the Eagles last night,
yeah.
Nick Saban was on Pat McAfee's show, and he said he was a guy that we tried to get to come into the transfer portal and come to us, and he wouldn't enter the portal. And if people don't know, that is what is known as tampering. So I wonder if there is going to be some investigations going on at Alabama. Sanctions for that. Obviously, Nick Saban doesn't care anymore. He's not the coach there anymore. But I thought that was a pretty hilarious thing for Nick Saban to admit to last night. In that, and obviously, we all know coaches do that anyways. It's not like it's a thing that doesn't happen in college football. But I just thought it was pretty funny for Nick Saban to actually admit to that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird, you know, not having the greatest college football coach of all time. Also, not having the greatest NFL coach of all time and Bill Belichick on the sidelines anymore. So. It's going to be a very strange year next year for sure, seeing Kalen DeBoer roam the Alabama sidelines. I love Kalen DeBoer. He's probably the exact guy I would have hired as well. I think that they did an A-plus job with that hire. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be very weird seeing Nick Saban be the Alabama head coach next year.
Max, it always is. But these are really consequential times. And Kentucky's going to have a new basketball coach next year, and Alabama's going to have a new football coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I think it's changed a lot, and a lot of cultural sports have changed a lot. And Nick Saban, I think the reason why he stepped down, and that's been reported, is that, you know, NIL. I think Nick Saban really is not a fan of the new age of college football, and that's why he stepped down, and that's why what's been reported is one of the biggest reasons for his stepping down as well. So, yeah, it's a new age of college football, and it's a new age of college sports, and we're seeing some big name coaches, you know, go elsewhere. I think it's a lot to do with the new age of college sports right now.
Have you put out that first official way too early? Because with every passing day, it's not as early anymore.
It's not. No, I actually we are putting together right now. We can't really do the mock draft yet because I still want to see the picks tonight. Because obviously you want to see the team. You know, you don't really know what a team needs until after tonight. I would say the NFL draft. But I can tell you that we do know who some of the top prospects are going to be in that mock draft. So. Yeah, be on the lookout for that very soon. It should be very exciting.
What about for college football playoff?
College football playoff. I haven't put together my 12-team list yet. I'm actually still waiting on some transfer portal news to finalize that. I'm probably not going to finalize until August anyways. But I can tell you right now, I believe, I'm not going to toot my own horn here, but I did pick Michigan last year to win it all before the year.
Right.
I think I'm going to do Ohio State this year. I think right now I'm a little bit nervous about the quarterback situation. I don't love Will Howard or what they have right now, but that rest of the roster is absolutely ridiculously stacked. So I would say Ohio State is probably my pick to win the national championship next year.
What do you think about the Memphis Tigers going into next season? Obviously, a lot of excitement down here about the possibility of getting in the college football playoffs now that it's expanded that group of five slot open. What do you think about Ryan Silverfield's team? Got a lot of guys from the transfer portal and bringing a lot of key guys back.
Yeah, I think they are definitely a team I'm really excited about. I think, yeah, you mentioned, you know, there's obviously a group of five team that's going to be included in the playoff now. I think Memphis is absolutely one of the favorites to be that group of five team represented there. I think Seth Hennigan, their quarterback, is a quarterback I really like, one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the country. They did a really good job with the transfer portal as well. They found a number of starters in the transfer portal that I think is really exciting as well. They lost some players as well that I think it thinks, like Davion Carter, the offensive guard, who I believe went to Texas Tech. He was a terrific offensive guard for Memphis. That's a big loss for them. But like I said, I think Seth Hennigan is a guy that I really like a lot. And I'm excited to see what he can do for Memphis again next year. And I think he could be the leader of this team and potentially be good enough for them to win the American and then crash a college football playoff.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, Max, as always, so much fun getting you on and talking some ball with you. And let's do this again soon before the season starts.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Whatever you want.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks.
Max Chadwick joining us. Talk some college football. Talk a little bit about the draft as well. And, man, I mean, just talking college football.
He's ready.
The excitement's there. You can tell the excitement from him. But definitely, I know everybody's excited to get college football. And I think part of it, I blame the draft because we see those highlights and the clips from those games from last year and in previous years when players get taken off the board. And, you know, you kind of go, man, I wish I was watching some college football right now. I wish I was watching some NFL right now. But it won't be too much longer before we get it back.
It won't be. And with everything, sure. We're getting closer to NFL schedule, and then we'll get the bowl schedule, and then we'll get to magazine season, and it'll get here.
Yeah, it definitely will. So, and it's going to be fun to see what happens tonight with the second and third rounds of the NFL draft. Well, let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's trending.
We are Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. We've got a little less than 30 minutes left in today's show. We're in the second quarter of Pacers-Bucks right now. Pacers all over the Bucks, 55-39. So Bruce Marshall's pick that he gave out looking really, really good right now, minus the 6.5. That it opened at. So plenty of basketball to get into with the NBA playoffs. We talked about that earlier, but I think some big news in the college game earlier today. Billy Richmond, who I know a lot of Memphis fans early in his recruitment were hoping the Tigers could land. He eventually committed to Kentucky. And then when John Calipari made the transition to Arkansas, he decommitted and now has landed at Arkansas following John Calipari. I saw our guy Ty Richardson on Twitter earlier today saying he was going to have to go by the wing guru where Billy Richmond Sr., it's his wing spot. He said he'd have to go by there and get some wings in honor of Billy Richmond next time he was in town. So it looks like, for the most part, most of that class that John Calipari had secured at Kentucky will follow him to Arkansas.
We know at least two so far, Carter Knox and Billy Richmond. And do we know of another one?
Yeah, one more. Boogie Fland also followed him. He committed yesterday, I think.
Right, I can't prove it. I don't know this. I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. Feels like, to me, Kentucky moved on from the big man. Or Calipari moved on from the big man.
Sure, yeah. It definitely,
he got his big man in the international play.
Yes, it feels like it. Maybe it was for the best, you know, and maybe he just saw that, look, I gotta go older, I need to stay older, and maybe that was just one of the guys that he decided he needed to cut ties with. But you're right, when you see this is now three guys from that class have all
pretty good retention rate.
Really good retention rate. But when you see all these guys, and it hadn't even been hard. It hadn't even really been like, oh, Look at Carter Knox going on a visit to next place.
It's just been, hey, boys, we're headed to Fayetteville.
We're going to Fayetteville. All right, coach, good deal. So, yeah, I would say that that was probably Cal's decision for Quaintance. And, hey, maybe he'll work out and maybe he'll be a Tiger. We know that they're trying to get that visit in next week as he's going to visit Arkansas or Arizona State this weekend. So we'll just have to see what happens.
It felt like securing Billy Richmond it's been lost a couple times when he moved to play in Camden,
yeah.
New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know why. Then commits to Kentucky, now with Calipari to Arkansas. How much do you think this one stings for Penny Hardaway? Because on the day he was hired, me and many others, he gets this guy, this type of player, mm-hmm. 99 out of 100 times.
Yeah, and now it's been a couple of guys that are, you know,
it's been more than
from
one.
Memphis, yes. You had the kid from MUS who ended up going to a prep school that then ended up committing to LSU, and I think there are a couple other in there as well, but certainly Billy Richmond's a big one with his father playing at Memphis. But you know, I think this time around doesn't hurt as much just because you know, already committed to Kentucky. I don't think this one really hurt. I mean, I think it certainly hurt because I think you were in there, and I think anytime you're in there for a recruit, when you lose them, it feels like a loss, and it stings a little bit. But
especially thought, okay, it's one thing you're losing him to John and
sure,
to Kentucky.
Sure.
Then when it opened, thought, okay, now back in play, and then end up losing him to Calipari and
sure,
Arkansas.
Sure. And I'm curious.
And his dad was on a Tiger team.
Mm-hmm.
Of John Calipari's that won at Bud Walton Arena.
Oh, how about that? Wow. Yeah, and so I'm curious how much they reached out to him once he decommitted from Kentucky after the John Calipari thing, or if they just kind of saw it as, hey, he's going to Arkansas. I'm sure they, you know, touched base and just to see where his head was at, and probably got the return of I'm going to Arkansas. I'm just going to let this play out for a little bit. So I think that helped a little bit. I think there's probably a part of it where some of these guys that Memphis has recruited that are local guys that might have gone somewhere else to one of these prep schools and you know, basketball powerhouse schools, where they didn't have any ties to John Calipari by their family, you know, where Billy Richmond's dad played for him, and mm-hmm. you can understand, okay, your son's going to play for the guy that coached you, and I think Penny Hardaway understands that to an extent, so I don't think this one hurt as much as some of the other guys, but certainly a guy of Billy Richmond's talent, you know, I saw him when he came here playing in an event at Houston High School against Houston earlier this year, and wasn't his best game, but you could tell out there that he was on a different level than everybody else, and didn't even look like he was trying out there.
Brian, it's really hard for me to, and a lot of older fans to adjust to, with players going and playing around the country now in high school, as Montverde or mm-hmm. wherever, Oak Hill, wherever they go off to. It's hard for me to look at a Tiger roster, and I do, and I go, where are the guys from Hamilton?
Sure.
Where are the guys from Whitehaven? Where are the guys from Manassas? Where are the guys from Melrose? Where are these players that, you know, we just got so used to coming
sure.
through, just player after player,
sure.
hit after hit?
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's just, it's so different now, and I hate it because I do think, you know, you look just back at the history of guys that have come out of Memphis, and you know, there have been some really, really good players. And
give me a player from Hillcrest.
Sure,
I mean,
sure. And there's been.
Heck, I'll take a White Station
why
player.
Why not? You know, there's been some really good you know, schools that have had players come out of there. And I think, you know, you look around, and I mean, you can go back over the last couple of years, and it seems like those you know, high end players are going to these you know, prep
yeah.
schools and these basketball powerhouses. I know
to these factories.
Sure, and you know, I remember when,
and I can't blame them. It's a great opportunity,
right? And, you know, I remember when Kenny Chandler was at Briarcrest mm-hmm. and was playing really well, and then went to Sunrise, and it's much easier once those guys, you know, get out of Memphis and they go to those other places. It's much easier for them to say, hey, I'm going to this place. You know, I'm going to LSU, or I'm going to Arkansas or any school. when Memphis isn't in your backyard and able to come see you at practice and come see all your games. So I think it's definitely hurting Tigers recruiting a little bit, but at the end of the day, these powerhouse high schools that are just basketball factories have gotten so good and the talent here is so good that they're seeking Memphis out and they're seeking high school and middle school players from Memphis to come in and play for them. And I know, our buddy John Varlas, I'm sure has a much better, reasoning behind it and why so many guys are going to those schools from Memphis.
Well, John's got a great handle on it. Yeah. And there are even players that are produced here that leave, like sure. KJ Tenner from Cordova.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and there's a lot of good, I know, there's a really good player.
Matthew Morrell would have helped.
Matthew Morrell would have helped. There's a really good player. And I know, probably pretty raw and needs some years, but there's a kid at Bartlett, and I forget his name, but he's going to Arkansas State. And so I think, but could have been a guy that Memphis could have brought in and developed for a couple of years, and maybe when he was a sophomore or junior could really develop. So it's definitely a different time and a different, style of recruiting.
It is, and again, let me be clear, I love the opportunity presented for them and their families to go
absolutely.
Off and do that. But I'm saying it just purely selfish. I knew
right.
forever. You get down to signing day, and you got a youngster from all those high schools sure. I rattled through. Memphis was keeping him,
of course,
and you had an affinity with him. You knew
yeah,
him,
yeah.
And Brian, I've been meaning to get this in, and I do not mean it at all caustic or ugly. But one of the knocks of players from yesteryear that didn't get paid, that did not have NIL opportunities, they were just getting room, books, tuition, and a chance at the end of a great education, they owed nothing.
Right.
I thought that was a pretty good deal.
Sure.
I really did. Now, I do think they were the rain that made the rainbows, and they deserved a whole lot of the pie, not even a piece. They deserved a whole lot of it. But you heard them say one of their big complaints is nobody remembers me after my eligibility's up. If I don't go to the pros, nobody remembers my name. Now we're in a place now, again, I don't mean this ugly. We don't even learn your name hardly.
Yeah.
You are just a number and yeah. out there playing. We don't sure. ever get to know you.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing, I remember we were talking about this earlier this week where and it actually was with David Cobb when he was on with Johnny Radio on Tuesday, and he was kind of talking about the way Memphis is recruiting and some of these guys that they have brought in or these guys that they're in on, and he said, these could be guys that Memphis is able to keep around and develops them, and he said, he goes, I think that's a good thing, and that Memphis fans are kind of longing for that, and even said that he thinks a lot of fan bases in college athletics are kind of longing for that, because you're right, especially the way that Penny Hardaway has put together programs, and a lot of coaches, especially in college basketball, are putting together programs. It is one year after the other, and you're seeing such a big turn of roster that you're right. I mean, you don't even get to learn their names and even get to know them because of how fast they are moving on. So it's definitely
right.
something interesting, and we'll see what can happen.
And for them, used to, that 3-4 year guy, starter, even bench player mm-hmm. that we got to know. If you act right, get your degree,
sure.
going to help you get a job
yeah.
in this area.
Absolutely.
But it may not be NBA lifestyle.
Right.
It probably won't be.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one NBA lifestyle.
Sure.
Going to get you a job. You can mix and mingle in this
sure.
community the rest of your life. Hey, there's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Hey, there's so
and yeah.
I do it. When I go to Tiger
yeah.
and Grizzlies game, and I see guys. And it's not just name brand
right.
guys.
Right.
I saw Steve Meacham at a game a few years ago and was glad to see him. He
oh,
said,
yeah.
you're probably the only one here that knows who I was. and love Steve
sure.
Meacham in the day. And now those guys aren't going to have those lives.
Right.
They're not going to come back to town and go, they're so-and-so.
Sure, sure. No, it's completely different now. And like I said, I think, fan bases want that connection and want those guys that are, the lifers and are going to be here. And
it's not just Tigers. It's everywhere.
Yeah,
football
again,
and basketball.
It's all across the country with the transfer portal. It's just, it's so different now than what it was just a few years ago. But let's go ahead and get to our final break of the day. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show with Taco Bell Crunch Time.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started, so...
Crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Goodbye.
It's obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.
The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito. So good. Double the steak with nacho cheese sauce, seasoned rice, red strips, sour cream, and the three cheese blend wrapped inside a warm flour tortilla. With even more three cheese blend grilled on the top. The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, it hits the spot now at Taco Bell. And at Taco Bell, when they say they are feeding people's lives with unexpected good, they mean it. Bowl food you can't get anywhere else.
Well, it feels like a lot over the last year or so we've been talking about the rise in streaming when it comes to the popular sports in America. So what I learned today, I saw this all over social media and on The Athletic, ESPN. Amazon Prime has framework deal for NBA broadcast rights per sources, putting pressure on TNT and NBC. It sounds like the league and Amazon are about to agree on a deal to make Amazon Prime Video one of the main homes for the NBA. It sounds like they will include significant regular season and postseason games, with even some conference final games being talked about included in Amazon Prime. So we talked about Peacock games. We already had Amazon Prime games for the NFL with Thursday Night Football. So hopefully people already have Amazon Prime Video and this isn't an issue.
They're
going to
make me.
But yeah, they're going to make you, Brett. There's going to be too many games on streaming.
My friends Johnny and Bryant will have to move in with me to get me all hooked up and coordinated.
We will.
We'll be here for you, Brett.
Thank you, John. Just tell me what remote control controls everything. Learned a couple of things today. Number one, Roger Goodell basically said 18 games coming.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to be next year, in 25. Won't be in 26, and probably not until they complete these Super Bowl commitments and these dates,
because
those cities have already started planning. But that next Super Bowl, it gets announced. That's going to be announced coinciding with 18 games. Also learned it had to be a shot to the chops for Penny Hardaway to lose out on Billy Richmond, not once but twice, to John Calipari. Kentucky was one thing. Arkansas is another one. And, you know, I thought all these big-timers, they would get easily when he was hired.
Sure. No, absolutely. And a good point by you about Roger Goodell last night. Just throwing that out there. Hey, we're gonna do some new things. We're gonna
Pat McAfee got that out of him.
Yeah, he sure did. Absolutely. That was really, really interesting to see. What I could have done without really isn't what I could have done without, but maybe I can spin it in a way of Kentucky basketball, what they've done lately in the transfer portal. It hadn't been a ton of news. You know, you see Arkansas getting all of their guys.
Arkansas's been more exciting.
It certainly has been more exciting. You see Louisville right there. Their rivals had an unbelievable offseason, I think, with the transfer portal. But Kentucky makes some news today with a massive pickup that might just change how the tides have been going for them. Lamont Butler, who was a part of that San Diego State team for the last couple of years, big part
Final Four.
The team that went to the national championship a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He has committed to the University of Kentucky, so a massive pickup for them. Certainly brings stuff offensively, but a really good defensive player, huge pickup for Kentucky.
Are we going to be there for our Razorback friends that have all this splash, all this glitz, and then they get in a game, 15 seconds left to play, got to draw up a stop or a make, and they realize he can't?
Some of them.
I'll be there with
Not
the tissue.
Not all of them.
I'll be there with the tissue.
I'll be there for some of them.
I'm going to be there for some of them, but you're right, Brian. And John, you're right. It's going to take a lot of tissue.
Sure is.
Because everything they criticized about him at Memphis and Kentucky, he hadn't magically fixed.
Right. No, you're right about that. So
I could have done without LeBron James blaming the refs and then cursing everyone out after being down 0-2. Then after being down 0-3, it's no big deal. It's basketball. There's bigger things in life than winning and losing playoff games.
Yikes.
Get over it, Laker. Can you imagine Kobe Bryant or Magic Johnson ever saying that?
No.
Ever.
No.
James Worthy? Ever.
No. Kobe Bryant would have retired before saying anything like that. I mean, that's a tough look for sure. Where are you beaming tonight?
Dallas Mavs hosting the Clippers, and it's going to be rough and tumble. Rangers at home against the Reds all weekend in the Metroplex. That'll be good. Can go to a Stars watch party. Here comes a real cheap shot, Johnny. Can go to a Stars watch party, and then I can do some intel on that Cowboy parade route.
Hey, I love it, Brett.
Plenty
that's
of
a good one.
Coming after the draft wraps up. Just need a couple pieces, Brett.
New Orleans wouldn't be bad this weekend. Golf this afternoon.
Yeah.
Pelicans tomorrow, golf over the weekend, except for those alligators.
Oh, man, don't get me anywhere
near they don't look like they play
alligators.
Nice.
No, they do not. Brett, I've been waiting for a couple of weeks to beam to where I'm beaming tonight for tomorrow. Beam me up to Nashville for the first Nashville Cats game of the season. The Arena Football League is back tomorrow, a home game in Nashville against the Minnesota Myth.
Play-by-play, Eli Gold.
You're absolutely right, so that will be fun. I think AFL.com, you can watch it on.
You're going to Tigers East Carolina Baseball Sunday.
Yes,
I'm going
right.
to Redbirds all weekend. I think we've got to get Johnny out to the Showboat game
Sunday.
We got
to.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm going to have to go, man.
Yeah, got to. So we'll
I got to go, Brett.
Covered over the weekend. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday afternoon.